A warm welcome to all who are joining the St. Paul community today to tune in, to reflect, and to pray on God's word and work in our lives. As we all gather together today, we gather in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Join me now in a word of prayer. Almighty and faithful God, we come before you today knowing that you have a case against us, and yet you invite us into relationship with you. We ask for your forgiveness for the times that we have forgotten all that you do for creation, for the ways that you lead us, the times that you have redeemed us, the times that you have guided us through the wilderness. Lord, you show us what is good and how to live. We ask that you continue to help us to act justly towards all, to help us love mercy, and to help us walk humbly alongside you. May our lives go from this place to reflect your gifts in our world today. We pray all of this in your holy name. Amen. And our reading today is taken from the 6th chapter of Micah, beginning with the first verse. Hear what the Lord says. Rise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, you mountains, the case of the Lord, and you enduring foundations of the earth, for the Lord has a case against his people, and he will contend with Israel. Oh, my people, what have I done to you? And what have I wearied you? Answer me, for I brought you up from the land of Egypt and have redeemed you from the house of slavery. And I sent before you Moses and Aaron and Miriam. Oh, my people, remember now what King Balak of Moab devised, what Balaam said of Beor answered him, and what happened from Shittim to Gaal, that you may know the saving acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with 1,000 rams, with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgressions, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with the Lord your God? The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So as I read this lesson for today, I was drawn in to the opening verse where Micah talks about creation and recognizing the stories that are told through various parts of creation. And the more that I thought about this concept, the more and more examples of it kept coming to mind for me. This past summer, I traveled to Alaska and got to see some glaciers. And those glaciers held water that fell as snow thousands to millions of years ago. And there are places here in the U.S. where you can travel to see riverbeds that hold dinosaur prints and tracks. And the stars in the night sky that we look up to see are explosions of light from centuries, even billions of years ago. A few years ago, I traveled down to Dry Tortugas National Park, where I got to see the corals that held the history of the ocean and its beauty and its diversity. If you cut a tree down, it tells its story through its rings, showcasing its seasons of growth, maybe a time of fire or of trauma, but all of those rings recount the life as the tree thrives and continues to grow. Last year, I got to travel to Switzerland with a group of students from the seminary, where Quentin shared one of his fun facts, that there were elephants that were used to traverse the Alps there, many of which did not survive, and so they remain buried in the snow and the ice of the mountains. And I'm sure if you were to take a moment or take some time sitting with this idea, you could come up with many of your own examples of how creation holds on to its past to tell a story. And that's because this idea that creation and earth tell a story is not something that's unique to just our time or just our place. But for centuries, through many different cultures and traditions, this concept has been held onto, that the earth and the cosmos around us tell a story. In Native American traditions, the trees and rocks and the rivers and the mountains are seen as being elders who remember the past. In Hinduism, the idea that the space around us is what holds our memory. And they view rivers flowing as centuries of prayer and grief and hope all shared. And Islamic traditions proclaim that creation records human faithfulness, remembering all that humans do to it. And African traditions see the earth as a place where memory and spirit meet. Celtic traditions bring us that idea of a thin space, a location where prayer and history and story all feel close together, a place where each is more deeply experienced. And the Christian concept declares that creation both holds suffering and hope in its beauty. So as we pull from this centuries-old idea and shared recognition that creation tells its own story, in our scripture reading today, we have this court scene set before us, where Micah calls out for Israel to plead its case before the mountains, to let the hills hear their voice. Micah leads them into this call towards creation, knowing that the stories and the histories and the human interactions that they have shape what's around them. He knows that this creation, that the mountains and the hills, are able to hold both of their suffering and enable their hope for the future. For at this time, for the Israelites, the mountains that surround them have experienced the covenant unfolding for generations and generations. They've witnessed the land and the people upon the land adapting to survive and nourish and protect one another. The oceans and the waters around them have carried stories from one place to another. The stars in the night sky would light it up and would lead those willing to follow them. God calls us into this pleading with creation because in creation as a whole, everything is connected. And God's concern, later revealed through Micah, towards justice and love and humility and kindness, is both communal and cosmic, recognizing that as soon as one aspect of creation begins to suffer from an injustice, the rest is affected alongside it. And there are many ways that this injustice can take root in creation. But the easiest for us to notice may be those that take root in human relationships. And even those tiniest little bits of injustice that we feel within our own relationships, it grows and grows and grows and moves outward from there. It moves from just one relationship into families, and then communities, moving towards systems, eventually moving into the land itself. We hear this theme again and again throughout all of Scripture, that creation groans when humanity forgets or chooses not to live rightly. And as we recognize these impacts of our wrongdoing, God doesn't immediately give us orders or tell us what's required of us to fix it. Instead, God calls us back in, reminding us of who God has been through it all. God's not demanding anything of us, instead showering us with continuous grace and faithfulness. And Micah reminds the Israelites that God had redeemed them from Egypt, that God saved them from slavery, not because of anything they did to earn it, but because God was faithful to them. And Micah names leaders like Aaron and Moses and Miriam who were sent to accompany and to guide and to nurture the Israelites along their path. And while God may not have directly been with the people in their time and their space, God appointed leaders who could be with them and who served alongside them throughout this time. And Micah recalls that God protected the Israelites. When others had tried to curse Israel, and God turned those curses into blessings. God led and shaped the journeys of all from a wandering people into a people of a fulfilled promise. God's saving grace towards them, it came as a gift and continues to be that gift for believers today. That gift that teaches and guides us in how we are supposed to live our lives. And while we can find it easy to follow in the footsteps of the Israelites, each doing what we each see as being right, God is always the one who reminds us what has already been done for each of us, what has already been done on our behalf. And yet, despite this promise and this gift, we can still get it wrong. We see things that are going on around us and assume that what we're doing is not enough. So we begin to perceive the things that we are doing as not holy, not what God is asking us to do. Then it's easy to start doing things to try and earn God's approval or to begin offering substitutes in what God calls us into. We quickly become busy instead of being obedient. It's easy to sacrifice instead of transform. It's easy to live in excess instead of living in that trust and that faithfulness that God calls us into. But it's not that extravagant life that God wants for us. Micah reminds us that what the Lord is calling us into is doing justice, loving kindness, and walking humbly with God. Not in ways that are too difficult or that drastically change our lives or that have an immediate impact on the world, but in those small, consistent ways that bring God's gifts of love and forgiveness and grace into our lives and the world today. God is calling us to go beyond just talking about or just admiring the justice into doing it, to make decisions, to improve the systems around us, to question the processes, to build relationships that foster equality and friendship among all people. God reminds us to love all of those around us at all times, not just when it's easy or convenient for us, but to always be expanding our connections, reaching out and engaging with new people, to learn what it means to be in a community not only during its celebration, but also through hardship. To practice what it looks like to love through pain and to heartbreak. To practice how we can show kindness in a world that needs more of it. God calls us to be with all, in love and with kindness and loyalty, showing God's own steadfast love. And as we do our best to live out this call, we don't do it in a way that boasts ourselves for all that we do, but rather in a way that embodies ourselves walking humbly alongside God. Not questioning the direction or the path that God is leading us down, not pushing ahead when things feel like they're too slow or giving up when things feel too hard, not waiting to start the trek next week or next month or next year whenever it feels convenient, not settling down on our path when we feel like we've come far enough. God is guiding us in a life that continually walks steadily and humbly alongside Jesus's example and God's call for each of us. And as we do these things, the world around us tells us that we should look for reward because of them, that we should find ways to measure how far we've come, to prove how visible our faith is, to share how touching our story is. But through Micah, God is reminding us that we don't live in this way or do these things to earn favor with God. But in the ways that we do justice, and we love kindness, and we walk humbly with God, are not just a way for us to get God's love. They're instead a way that we share the love and the grace and the justice and the righteousness and the forgiveness and all the gifts that God freely gives to us, to others. And it's not always going to be easy. There are going to be times that we get it wrong. There are going to be times that, like the Israelites, God will call us out for being wrong. And there will certainly be plenty of times that the world around us calls us out for being wrong. But we still do it. We still live into God's call. And as we do this, the mountains still watch. The lands adapt and nourish us. The waters cleanse and carry us. The stars continue to capture. The hills continue to listen. Creation remembers. Creation is on our side. God is with us. So how can we hold on to that gift and that promise to move past the pressures and the expectations and the deceptions and the harm of our world today to live more fully into that life that God is calling us towards? To live in the ways that do justice. To live in the ways that love kindness. To live in the ways that walk humbly beside God. To live in a way that leaves behind the stories of justice and those reminders of love and the pictures of kindness and all of creation around us. Amen. Join me now in a time of prayer. God, we pray for the church, all of creation, and for the whole people of God. Almighty God, we pray for your whole church as we walk the path that you call us down. We ask for your help in making the church more open and accessible, for walking with us as we take your gifts of love and mercy, of justice and of peace, beyond the walls of the sanctuary and out into the world. May we be more ready to see the ways that you shape and build the church and the community and all of creation. May you lead us into that same work in doing justice throughout our lives. Creator God, we pray for the goodness of your whole creation. From the smallest hummingbirds to the biggest whales, we ask for an abundance of love as we live alongside all animals. From the newest wildflowers to the old woods, from the deepest depths of the ocean to the highest mountain peaks, we ask for your power to tend to all nature around us. From our closest friends and our family to communities of people we haven't yet met, we ask for an outpouring of your grace and mercy as we love our neighbors. May you lead us in loving kindness. Protecting God, we pray for the whole family of Christ. We ask that you make your presence known to those who are sick, to those who feel alone, to those who feel unloved and unworthy, to those who feel lost. Bring us to them so that we may be a presence of your love and your work in their lives. May you lead us and guide us through your call as we learn to walk humbly next to you. We trust in your promises to us as we pray these prayers and the silent ones in our hearts, all in your holy name. Amen. May you go out into the world now, remembering what God calls us into, doing justice, loving kindness, and walking humbly alongside God.